الحمد لله رب العالمين، العاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وجامع الناس لميقات يوم الدين. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله وملائكته والصالحون من خلقه عليه كما وحد الله وعرف به ودعا إليه، اللهم وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى من اقتفى أثره اتبع سنته ومنهجه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما. اللهم ولا تجعل فينا ولا من بيننا شقيا ولا محروما. أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يحرم هذه الجباه الراكعة الساجدة عن النار. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار، إنه القادر على ذلك وهو وليه، والله المستعان وعليه التكلان. We'll continue إن شاء الله where we stopped last time إن شاء الله.
The obligation of opposing the opponent of the Sunnah. This contains the obligation of refuting the one who opposes the truth. It is contrary to what those people say: stop refutation, leave the people, everyone is entitled to his opinion and should be respected, freedom of opinion and freedom of speech. With this, the Ummah will be destroyed. The righteous predecessors were not silent about the likes of these individuals. Rather, they exposed them and refuted them due to their knowledge of their danger to the Ummah. We cannot remain silent about their evil. Rather, it is a must to explain what Allah has revealed. Otherwise, we would become from those who conceal knowledge about whom Allah says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ.
Verily, those who conceal the clear proofs, evidences, and the guidance which we have sent down after we have made it clear for the people in the book, they are the ones cursed by Allah and cursed by the cursers. The matter is not limited to an innovator. Rather, the matter includes the one who remains silent about it, for he is included in the condemnation and punishment. This is because it is obligatory to explain and clarify the truth to the people. And this is the function of the knowledge-based refutations that are available nowadays in Muslims' libraries. They all defend the straight path and caution against these people. So no one propagates this thought, the thought of freedom of opinion, freedom of speech, and respecting others, except a misleading one who conceals the truth. Our aim is the truth. We do not intend to criticize people or speak against people. The aim is to explain the truth. This is the trust Allah has placed on the scholars. So it is not permissible to be silent about the likes of these individuals. But it is unfortunate that if a scholar begins to refute the likes of these individuals, people will say, "This is an impulsive person," and so on among the whisperings of Shaitan. However, this will not discourage the people of knowledge from explaining the evil of callers of misguidance to the people. It will not discourage them.
So the bottom line is to save that tongue that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed inside your mouth to speak without knowledge, to keep it for yourself. Or to argue without knowledge, to keep it for yourself. Only speak if you know something that you need to pass on to benefit others. As exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Al-Yahud, they did that. They hide the truth. They even know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam هو رسول الله. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him exactly like they know their own children. But they hide it. And when they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ليحكم بينهم, to judge among them or between them, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam He's telling them it is in your book, التوراة. وكيف يحكمونك وعندهم التوراة فيها حكم الله. So the Torah they have, it has حكم الله. Can it be that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has many rulings in different books? So in your Torah, Allah rules something. In the Quran, He will rule something else. حاشا لله. تعالى الله عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. It is one ruling. So therefore, they hide the حق. But those who are trying to change in our deen, or they try to blow their poison, they do not come straight, but they come from the fact is trying to alter and change in the deen and argue without ilm. And this is from the worst thing, that when you argue without ilm. فَمَنْ أَضَلُّ Allah SWT said, مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا سُلْطَانٍ وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this in the Quran, that those who argue without any source of light, but they just wanted to speak. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that, inshallah. Yeah. We'll proceed to the next chapter, which is...
There is no debate regarding the matters of the deen.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله
The author said
وَعْلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا يَتِمُّ إِسْلَامُ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يَكُونَ مُتَّبِعًا مُصَدِّقًا مُسْلِمًا
Know that the Islam of a slave will not be complete until he becomes one who follows the Quran and the Sunnah, believes in them and submits to them as well.
فَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ قَدْ بَقِيَ شَيْءٌ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ لَمْ يَكْفِنَاهُ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَهُمْ
Whoever claims that there is something left in the affair of Islam that the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not explain to us has denied them.
وَكَفَى بِهَذَا فُرْقَةً وَطَعْنًا عَلَيْهِمْ
And this alone is sufficient factionalism in Islam and defamation against them.
فهو مبتدع ضال مضل محدث في الإسلام ما ليس منه.
Such a person is an innovator, is astray, will lead others astray, and he is introducing into Islam what is not of it. This is the completion of the previous statement. His saying, the Islam of a slave will not be complete until he becomes one who follows the Qur'an and the Sunnah, believes in them and submits to them as well. That is, he should be a follower and not an innovator, a believer and not a doubter or a hesitant. Musalliman means submitting to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. This is because these matters are of submission and not argument. We should submit to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not argue about this matter or take to our own opinion, as they say, concerning the word of Allah and that of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His saying, whoever claims that there is something left in the affair of Islam that the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not explain to us, has denied them, meaning, whoever claims that the Sahaba defaulted regarding their explanation and clarification of the truth and conveying it to the people from the Prophet ﷺ, or claims that he is in a position to talk or add something to the religion, such a person desires evil for the people. This is because the companions did not leave anything from what they heard from or saw the Messenger ﷺ do except that they conveyed and explained it to the Ummah as a trust. It is due to this fact that the commentary of the companions about the Qur'an is given precedence above the commentary of others, because they were the students of the Messenger ﷺ. They heard the Qur'an, its explanation, and the ahadith from him. They witnessed his action and reported it as a trust, so they did not leave anything unexplained. Therefore, whoever claims that they defaulted and left something without conveying it is indeed an arrant lying fabricator, a straying and misleading person who makes people have doubt concerning Allah's religion and its transmission from the companions of the Messenger of Allah. subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is thereby falsely accusing the companions, as is the way of the people of innovations. They accuse the companions of betrayal and accuse them of mistrust in order to break the link between us and Allah's Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is obligatory to beware of these people, and we should know the worth and status of the companions. From where did this Quran, a hadith, and understanding of Islam come to us? It is through their conveyance in its entirety from the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They conveyed and reported them to us, each of them to the extent to which Allah has endowed him his ability. They did not leave anything from Allah's religion except that they conveyed it as they learned it from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are trustworthy because Allah chose them to accompany His Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Report from him and convey it to the later Muslim generations. Allah chose them for that purpose. Then someone will come and accuse them of defaulting or accuse them of shortcomings? None says this except a straying and misleading one who wishes to cut the connection of the Ummah with the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and eventually cut their connection with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We did not attend the teaching assemblies of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor did we directly hear his teachings. There were generations between us and him. The noble companions were the ones who conveyed the messages to us from the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the position of the companions in the religion is a great one. Therefore, they should not be accused that they hid or concealed anything and did not explain it. His saying, such a person is an innovator, will go astray, lead others astray, and he is introducing into Islam what is not of it. This is to introduce into Islam what is not of it is his goal. And he will not be able to do that until he defames the companions, accuses them of betraying the Prophet and lying against him. Thereafter, he will invent new things from himself and say, this is the religion that is obligatory for us to follow. This is their goal for accusing the companions of lying and betrayal. For them to have the opportunity of forming a religion for the people from themselves according to their intellect and views, and for us to acquire knowledge from the scholars and leaders of misguidance. Those who changed the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with lies and counterfeit scholars and asanid, chains of transmitting hadith, from themselves that are contrary to the sources of Islam. This is something clear and present in their legacy and ideologies. However, all praise is due to Allah. What is with them of misguidance remains besieged. The lights of truth and revelation exposes it. It exposes the vast amount of recorded lies in their books.
Stop here, inshallah. So, conclusion to this point is a very beautiful point. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a red line. It's a red line, and no one can cross that red line. Loving the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned, qurba lil Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qurba means that you take it as a qurbat, it gets you closer to Allah, to love you and to accept from you when you love the companions. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he died, he said, Allah, Allah fi ashabi. He said, Allah, Allah fi ashabi. La tu'dhuhum. Don't hurt them. Meaning, don't talk bad about them. These ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are chosen. Kanu hadhahu min al-umam. At that time, they were the chosen one from all those around him to be his companions. وَهُوَ حَضُّهُمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. And he is their chosen Nabi from all the messengers. So, subhanAllah, as two links together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasuluhu, Ashaba. So the deen came to us through these Sahaba who strived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for all of their lives to pass on this Islam. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, the Medina lit. And when he died, the Medina fell into darkness. Who said that? Anas, radiallahu anhu. Anas. His khadim. You know his khadim, his servant, he served him. His mom gave him to the Prophet ﷺ to serve him from young age. But he took, he wasn't a servant. He took from the Prophet ﷺ ilm. Ilm. Enough for him to be raised fi bayt al-nubuwa, in the house of Prophet. So he took from the Prophet ﷺ a lot. And when the Prophet ﷺ died, ذَهَبُوا فِي الْأَمْصَارِ, they went to all directions. How Islam came to Africa, to Sri Lanka, to how? If it wasn't for these Sahaba, they left the most loved place to them. You think anybody wants to leave Medina and love where the Prophet ﷺ grave is, where they lived, or where they heard the voice of the Prophet ﷺ? Can you imagine just being in Masjid al-Rasul ﷺ at the time, listening to the Prophet reciting Salat al-Isha, not your miskin sheikh here. But to imagine yourself that you are standing in Salah fi Jama'ah and Imamukum Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can imagine the recitation of the Quran as he learned it from Jibreel alayhi salam an Rabbi. So these Sahaba, they sacrificed. And they went beyond. And some of them even died in the middle of nowhere, right? Some of them even was buried near the walls of the enemy by Constantinia during the time of Muawiyah. Who was that companion? One of the companions of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them died alone, which is Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. He was traveling with his wife, and then when he Hanat al-Maniyya, in the middle of nowhere. Do you remember the Prophet ﷺ when he was he was going to Tabuk, and he saw a man coming from a distance behind the army. He's like a day or two behind, because his dabba was weak, so he had to march on foot most of the time. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they told the Prophet, there is a man coming from a long distance. He looked and he said, Kun abadar. He said, be abadar. And when he got closer, because it's a distance in the desert, imagine in the heat of the desert, marching to join the companions, brothers. We struggling with our deen, with all these ni'am that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers with. And we still not fulfilling this much from what the Sahaba did. And then is Abu Dharr. قال رحم الله أبا ذر. May Allah have mercy on Abu Dharr. يعيش وحيدا يموت وحيدا ويبعث وحيدا. He live alone, he will die alone, and he will resurrect alone. The years went by when some of the Sahaba, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, were traveling in the middle of a desert, and a woman came and he said, there is a woman and a near a dead body, looks like, in the middle of nowhere. Then when they came and approached, she approached him and said to help her to bury him. And he said, who is that? When they uncover his face, they realize him, a sahiba nabi, sahiba rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, does it mean title to have to be the companion? Sahib rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a title. Title, it cannot be compared to anything in our time. Cannot. There is no title compared to it, even 1%. قالوا صدق رسول الله. Do you remember the hadith? Because when the Prophet ﷺ said it to the army, do you think the army kept it for themselves? When they went back to Medina, those the sick one, those who left behind, those who could, who have excuse, those who did not have a ride, didn't have the means. What happened? Tell us what happened. They want to know everything. And this is, he mentioned it. And this is what he called asanid. You know the asanid, which is the chain of the hadith. It takes it. That's why there's so many weak hadith, because when you look into the chain, they said, oh, it comes to this one. This one, he didn't even live the time of the Prophet. So kadhub. So that means he's a liar. This hadith doesn't even la yasah. And many ahadith amongst us la tasah. And people use it because nobody looks in the chain. But if we really study and look at those ulama who study ilm al-hadith, they will tell you, like Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, he will tell you al-da'if wa-sahih fi kitab. You know, and there are other muhaddithin also, they made books of tasheeh and this. So the one of the companions, I cannot remember his name, the one who died during the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when they were at the wars of Constantinople, and جاءته المنية, and he died, and they buried him, and Malik al-Rum, the king of the Constantinople, he's watching from his big wall from above his fortress, and he's looking at them as they dig in the grave. If his name comes to me, if you remember his name, just help me with the name. He's very well known companion. And he's looking at them and he said, "Are you crazy? What are you doing? You burying your man near my walls?" Because they were under siege, trying to conquer Constantinople, but they could not at the time. Because until later on. Because the Prophet said, "Khayr junudiha," these are the best. The best emir is that emir who conquered Constantinople, mm-hmm. and they are the best army. So they tried, but they didn't. It wasn't for them. Allah has different plans. So he told them, he said, as soon as you leave, soon you get tired from camping outside, because they were, you know, after a while, they cannot be keeping the city under siege for too long. Soon you will leave. فَمَا أَلْبَثْ أَنْ أَبْعَثَ جُنْدِي وأخرجه من الأرض تأكله كلاب الأرض. I will dig him out, I'll throw him out to the dogs to eat him. When Muawiyah heard that, he told him, Wallahi, by Allah, if I heard you did that, I will not leave a cross or a Christian في جزيرة العرب, except you will hear something from me. So that means you take care. I mean, it was very serious threat. Malik al-Rum, he told his people, guard this grave. He will not. These are men, brothers. Ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forget about, you know, what they said to me about Muawiyah and the don't get yourself. And this is problem too, that when we get ourselves engaged in talking about Ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, you're talking about Muawiyah. He's the brother of Yazid. And, you know, he did this. And he fought Ali in Jamal. And you start talking and without ilm. This is talking without ilm, exactly what the author is saying. Don't talk without ilm. They said about this, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. You don't talk and you don't have no saying in this. They did ijtihad. Whatever happened, they did ijtihad. For us, we have to respect them. So what happened is, they left and his grave was still there. And I'm trying just to grab or gasp his name. I'm just trying to gasp his name. I said, but before I conclude my sitting, but his name is not coming to my. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll meet again. I'm sure some of you is going to search. I'm going to receive so many text messages. This is the name, Ya Sheikh.
And as soon as you
have the, if you can, you guys want to wait until we know who is this Sahabi? Do you want to know? Do you type Arabic?
No.
Doesn't type Arabic. Well, if you type Arabic, I can do it fast.
Constantinople, Sahaba, Bayel, whatever.
You have your phone with you? How come you don't have to carry your phone? My son, he always carries his phone. I ask him his phone, he said, I don't have it. MashaAllah, he's following the rules. he's a very known Sahabi. SubhanAllah.
The name Karam is not.
Just type the name of the Sahabi that was buried near the wall of Constantinople. It should tell you.
Abu
Ayyub al-Ansari. I think Abu Ayyub, yes. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, yes. That's him. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. See, he's well known. Who can forget? You know who's Abu Ayyub al-Ansari? Who's Abu Ayyub al-Ansari?
He was the first. In Medina, he was the first
to host the Prophet.
Yeah, host the Prophet.
He hosted the Prophet in his house. He was above the Prophet. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was below him, and he was above him. And he came the next day because he slept only one day on Saqifah. He was above. He said, "I sleep above the Prophet." He saw it big. He came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, I can't sleep at night when I know that you sleep below me." Khalil al-Bari, the Prophet ﷺ, he gave him, you know, he insists, you go sleep above, I will not sleep. Look at this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Took us 10 minutes until we find the name. Sorry for the delay, إن شاء الله.